first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. God's wisdom revealed by the Spirit. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, verses 11 to 21. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf, which they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So as I begin, a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our short series in chapter 7 and 8 of Mark's Gospel, Mark has described for us events which are very similar to events from earlier in his Gospel. In chapter 6 he wrote about the feeding of the 5,000. And in chapter 8, the beginning of this chapter, the feeding of the 4,000. Around each account, there's a boat trip. The disciples don't understand what's going on. There's conflict with the Pharisees, a discussion about bread, a miraculous healing in each, the man who had been deaf and mute in chapter 7, and the blind man later in chapter 8. And there's a declaration of faith. At the end of chapter 7, the people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And at the end of chapter 8, there will be Peter's declaration of faith, which we'll look at next week. Now, in the feeding of the crowds, it's the compassion of Jesus that is brought to the fore. He has compassion on them because they are hungry and confused, like sheep without a shepherd. So he feeds their spiritual hunger by teaching them, and he feeds their physical hunger by multiplying the bread and fish so that all are satisfied. Jesus took care of the crowd's needs by teaching them and feeding them, and then he sent them home satisfied. But then Jesus is challenged once more by the Pharisees. Verse 11 of our reading says, "To test him, the Pharisees asked him for a sign from heaven." The word that is used here for test is the same Greek word that Mark used when Jesus was tempted or tested by Satan in the wilderness. If you remember, Satan had said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself from the top of the temple so that the angels will catch you. Prove that you are the Son of God." Like Satan, the Pharisees haven't come as seekers who are genuinely interested, but as challengers. They are people who are determined not to believe. Anyone who comes to the Bible looking for faults will find faults. But if you come to the Bible genuinely looking for God, genuinely seeking answers for the big questions of your life, then you will find God. And then God will give you those answers. The Pharisees come looking for a sign, but Jesus won't play their game. He knows that if they refuse to see God at work in the miracles of compassion that he does, or if they refuse to hear God speaking in his teaching on justice for the poor and the oppressed, then one more miracle isn't going to make a difference. For the smart alecks and time wasters, Jesus promises nothing. He walks away. But for those who are genuinely asking, seeking, and knocking, he promises answers, revelation, an open door. Back on the boat, even though the disciples have seen so much and heard so much over the 2 years they've been with Jesus, they still don't really have a clue. Now Jesus knows that they're talking about bread, but it seems to be totally irrelevant to him. Bread isn't the issue. The disciples' understanding is the issue. He says, "Listen, I want to warn you about something. I want to warn you about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." So what is Jesus talking about? So what do we know? What do we know? We know that a small amount of yeast can have a major effect on a large amount of flour. So basically, Jesus is warning his disciples to beware the influence of the Pharisees and Herodians. We know that the Pharisees were marked by religious hypocrisy. For them, faith in God was all about making sure you obeyed all the religious rules, being seen to do all the right things in the right way by the right people, regardless of whether you were good or greedy, kind or cruel. And we know that Herod was a puppet king, and the ruling elite were steeped in Roman and Greek culture, marked by collaboration and compromise with the Roman Empire. So we've got the Pharisees, who are more interested in the rules of their religion than in God, and we've got the Herodians, who are more interested in the ways of the world than in God. So maybe Jesus is warning that a little bit of sin can start the rot. A little bit of compromise can become total compromise. A little bit of false teaching can eventually corrupt our faith. But I don't believe this is all about doctrinal purity or personal discipline. Maybe Jesus is also warning the disciples not to be like the Pharisees who had just asked Jesus for a sign to prove who he is. Maybe the disciples whose job it was to bring the bread thought, "We only need to bring one loaf. Jesus can do the rest." That sounds fairly reasonable, doesn't it? It's probably what I would have done. They've seen Jesus feed thousands with a few loaves. So why wouldn't he just wave his hands over this one loaf and make a bit more? It sounds like faith, doesn't it? And in a way, it is faith. But it also sounds like not taking responsibility, taking Jesus for granted. Here is Jesus trying to train them for the vital mission of taking the gospel to the world. And here they are, 2 years in, still not understanding, still not stepping up. Jesus then makes a second enigmatic statement. He says to the disciples, Do you have eyes but can't see? Ears but can't hear? We can read the Bible until we know it back to front, yet still see nothing. We can listen to the gospel being explained 100 times and hear nothing. It's like rain bouncing off a roof. Until the eyes of our understanding are open and our ears are unplugged. And that can't happen unless we want to see, until we want to hear. Now, as if to rub in just how slow the disciples are, Jesus then moves on to questions about baskets of leftovers. What's this about? When Jesus fed the 5,000, the crowd was largely a Jewish crowd in Jewish Galilee, and there were 12 baskets left over. The 12 baskets are believed to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus is feeding the 5,000 who are present, but symbolically, he has enough for all of Israel. When Jesus feeds the 4,000, the crowd is a largely Gentile crowd in a Gentile territory. The 7 baskets of leftovers are believed to represent the 7 Gentile nations mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 1 that inhabited the land prior to the Israelites: the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. Jesus feeds the 4,000 who are present with enough left over for all the Gentiles. Jesus has come for everyone, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Today, Jesus still feeds us. He gives us more than we need, enough for ourselves and enough for us to take and share. Our gospel ends, our reading this morning ends with the disciples none the wiser. Jesus' final question to them: do you still not understand? I feel really sorry for them. They've really been put through the mincer on this boat trip. Watch out for the Pharisees, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. What? Why are you talking about bread? Are your hearts hardened? You've got eyes, but you can't see. You've got ears. Why can't you hear? How many baskets of leftovers were there? Do you still not understand? And it's pretty clear that they don't. Now, not understanding isn't always a bad place to be. Doubt isn't always a bad thing. Now, I don't mean the rebellious, smart-aleck doubt of the Pharisees, but the honest, heartfelt doubt of someone who wants to believe. Doubt keeps us asking questions. Doubt keeps us seeking. It keeps us moving. Not everything has to end with a neat answer. A neat answer stops us thinking. And thinking we have all the answers stops us seeking more of God. Thinking we know all the answers can be a dangerous place. Because Jesus walked away from those who thought they had all the answers. But he had compassion on those who were hungry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit to reveal you through the words of the Bible, through all that we see around us. Help us, Lord, never to be satisfied with just enough. Help us to be hungry for you, to want more of you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.